flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know, Zeno, when you told me you told a general he was an idiot, it totally made sense. This hour is brought to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. The 3 o'clock hour, guys, by our friends at Mark Spain. All Four Seasons and Garage Entry Door, should I say. I am down here on the south side getting ready for Skyhawks tonight. Zeno is back at our Midtown studios.
For the record, I didn't use those exact words. I just intimated he was an idiot.
Well, that's probably enough. I'm sure he picked up on what you were throwing down. Big shout out to Turtle, who stepped in there and joined you in the first segment. Big O also there hanging out. Listen, we got a lot to get to. We will talk some Braves as pitchers and catchers yesterday, and you know, we were talking to our buddy Rob Bradford about the Braves. And real quick, I just want to mention, like, I know people are freaking out. We're gonna be fine. Guys are going to get healthy. They're going to be healthy. This lineup's going to hit. The idea that everybody's going to suck as they did last year, and literally everybody sucked, and then Acuña goes down, like, that's not happening again.
So we got to calm down. Yes, I agree. Not everybody's going to suck, but is everybody going to return to 2021-2022 form, I think, is the question. And I don't think you get everybody to do that. You know, remember, Matt Olson's breakout year. You know, if you go look at his stats, that was more of the anomaly, at least from a batting average perspective, right? I mean, I know he never hit 50 before, but, you know, he was a 35, 38, 40 home run type guy.
Right.
But it was the batting average that really made the difference. I mean, in reality, he's more of a 220 hitter than he is a 280 hitter. And that's something you have to live with, that the reality is that that season might not be coming back again. And then more than anything, Deuce, I just, the health. Acuña off another knee surgery. Strider off another elbow surgery. Like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things up in the air that just, you know, it's hard to get a warm and fuzzy other than we have a track record of these guys performing before, so it should happen again. But the injuries still are a major concern, I would think.
So a few people agreeing with you about one person calling the shot. I love this because our man Jonathan Walker, avid listener, talking about the Falcons, and you were saying, because let's just get down to nuts and bolts here. As much as we're talking about Kirk Cousins, and that's going to figure itself out, and I don't think anybody's trading for him. You think the GM should be on the phone making somebody want him? Oh, fine. But the reality is you don't trust the GM is going to be able to do the things he needs to do. And then we got into this whole collaboration thing, which you said bugs you. Jonathan says, damn it, I hate to agree with Zeno, but one person should be calling shots. I said, who, Terry? Noble, another avid listener of the show, says, I've never agreed with the Colonel on anything, but I do agree with him on this.
Why does everybody have to caveat that?
Well, because it's kind of true.
I hate to agree with you. I never agree with you. Now I agree with you.
Well, it's hard to agree with you, you know. It's hard. So Noble says, but you know, stop with the collaboration. Guys, when we talk about when I say collaboration, here's what I'm telling you, and I'm not saying that one person isn't making these calls. I think when they say collaboration, and again, if you were a head coach, if you were a defensive coordinator, if you were an offensive coordinator, and you needed a piece, okay, and everybody on the squad, and everybody in the front office knows it, The collaboration part for me is, and you're saying this like, you know, it's not a big deal, is the input. Hey, this is the kind of player I think we need. This is what I'm looking for. This is the kid that I liked and saw on tape. And you express that to the people who ultimately are going to make the decision, but the decision makers still make the decision. But that's collaboration. That's not everybody in the room and everybody raise their hand. Okay, everybody's in on this guy, everybody raise their hand. That's a different deal. That's not what's happening. So I think when we say collaboration, what you're looking for, or I think you could tell me if I'm wrong, you're looking for that one person to blame, and you're saying the way that the Falcons address this doesn't allow you to blame that one individual.
No,
that's what you're saying.
It's not about placing blame. It's about understanding who is in charge and how decisions are made.
Terry Fontenot's in charge.
Is he? Because you just said before that he didn't have a full hand.
He wasn't in charge when he got the job, him and Arthur Smith came in together. And they neither one, Arthur hadn't been a head coach and he hadn't been a GM. That's a different situation than hiring an experienced GM or an experienced coach to come in. That's why this collaboration thing came about.
We also have the owner saying that the head coach and the GM report directly to him. Not the head coach reports to the GM and the GM reports to him, which is the traditional, more standard way that the chain of command flows.
Okay.
The head coach and the GM are one and the same in that they report to the same guy, and ultimately they have to run all decisions by him. Isn't that kind of the way, you know, business works? Isn't that kind of the way it goes? That the head coach typically would run things by the GM. The GM would kind of typically run things by the owner. And at some point, somebody makes the decision. Look, my bigger point here is this. We don't have to get the minutia of it. My issue is that whatever process it is, Dukes, whatever their collaboration they're doing, it's not working. It's flat out has no success. So let's try something different, shall we? Let's not do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Let's not collaborate as much. Let's just try something different.
Okay.
Because I can't deal with collaborating and getting losing results and going, nope, we're still going to collaborate.
All right, time out. Why did we see
what I bothered you already?
No, I just got out of the hospitals, you know? I mean, this
Damn,
is
I
where
you were
there. Well, you're going to drive me back there. Here's the issue.
Well, I'll take it easy now.
Here's the issue. Why did we lose games this season? Before we get into the collaboration,
okay,
let's just talk about why we lost games, okay? Because what you're talking about...
Combination of poor play and poor coaching.
Yes, you did. We lost games because our quarterback lied to us about an injury that put us...
Man, this dude is legit.
I thought he was too, B. And then we went down this slide that we couldn't find our way out of, right? Which forced the coaching staff to put in a guy that they wanted to sit and learn sooner than he wanted to, or sooner than they wanted to.
Dukes.
This whole collaboration thing, time out. When you're talking about this, let's talk about why we lost games. You're acting as if this collaboration lost us games. That is not. The coach also put us in jeopardy of losing games with decisions and not calling timeouts. Why did we lose games this year?
And I would argue the GM put you in position to lose games by
the
not
GM
putting.
The GM had nothing to
hold
do
on
with
a
that
second.
In
let
Washington.
Me finish. Yes, he did. He had absolutely everything to do with the fact that the allegedly hurt kicker never went on IR. Period. You lost three games alone because of kicking. Three. And that was where the guy who you knew was hurt and didn't put him on IR and didn't go get another kicker. When you finally did, you got one that couldn't kick a 50-yard field goal. That's on the GM.
That's not on the head coach?
Listen, did the head coach pick the kicker or did the GM pick the kicker?
It doesn't matter. He's collaborated. Affecting the game.
That's right. They collaborated and still got it wrong. This is the problem, Dukes. This is the essence of the problem. Who the hell is in charge and who's making decisions? And the idea that, you know, they lost games this year because a quarterback play alone is fallacy. That's not true. It's just not. Kirk Cousins was bad. I'm not going to defend a lot of his play.
Only someone's trapped.
And I would argue this, too.
You weren't taking
over Jack. For all the people who are collaborating week in and week out, you're telling me none of them can tell? Even if Kirk didn't say anything that he was hurt, none of them can tell he was off?
None
of them can tell that he wasn't healthy? None of the coaching staff can look at him and go, something's not right here?
No, I wouldn't say that. And again, I get back to my partner and Mike, who listen, when we had this argument and he said the same thing. No, I don't think anybody could not look at the situation and say Kurt wasn't injured or something was wrong. What I do think his money played a role in this.
Of course it did.
As it does in all sports decisions. So when you say that, yes, I can say, damn, he don't look right. Is he telling you anything? Nah, Carl, he hasn't said anything. Hey, Mike, has he said anything? No, he hasn't said anything to me. He been a training staff? No, he hadn't been a training staff in weeks.
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Yeah, liar. So then what happens is you go, we have $100 million invested in this fool. We have to continue to play him, Zeno.
Agree. But then you know what your coaching staff's supposed to do? Not ask him to do things you physically know he can't.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Go back to the Chargers game. Again, I run through it over and over again. Fourth and five from around the 40-yard line. Kicker's hurt. We can't send him out there because he can't make a 50-yarder. But I got an idea. Our quarterback, who we know can't throw outside the numbers, let's throw an out route on fourth and five instead of just punting the ball away and it gets returned for a pick six. Not defending the pass. It was terrible. Play call should never happen.
You said Koo lost us three. I know Koo lost us New Orleans. What other two games did he lose us?
The Los Angeles game, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Missed the first field goal.
Yeah,
and again,
you're right.
They didn't. The decision. And it's because, and Ra admitted this, he had to coach different because he knew his kicker couldn't do what he was supposed to do.
That's right.
And that's a problem. It should have been on the GM to say, the dude's hurt. He's not performing. We need somebody in here who can. We're losing games. And then, of course, the Washington game. You lost because of your kicker.
So, all right. What's Terry doing?
Hey, Turtle back at the studio. Let's put up a poll. I'm curious to see if people agree with Zeno on this, that, hey, we need one guy.
Can you make one of the choices? I hate to agree with Zeno, but yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go! Yes! That's what I was waiting for! My God! Stop! Somebody just crashed on 285. Somebody just crashed on 285 here and there.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Turtle, let's put up a poll. I'm just curious. Guys, here's why this is important. If you guys are saying, why are you guys talking about it? Why are you arguing about this? The direction of our football team and where we go this offseason and how we fix things or don't fix things, we'll be back in the same damn place next season.
Yes, that's the point.
We cannot be back in this same place next season.
Agreed.
Okay? That is why we're talking about this. Super Bowl is come and gone. We've seen the model of what we'd like to look like, and everybody in the rest of the league is going, that's how you beat Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so we got to go get some of those guys. The irony to all that is, well, they were right here in our backyard, and we decided not to pick any of them. So, but neither did anybody else in the NFL. So Howie Roseman outsmarted everybody because no other GM went, I'm going to go get six dogs in the next two seasons. Nobody did that. So I can't just point that at the Falcons, but that's why we're talking about this, is because it's so important moving forward how the decisions are made, what decisions are made, and how they go about their business. That is why we're talking about it. And if you're going, you know, you're driving around or however you're accessing the show and you're going, what the hell are these guys talking about? That is why we are discussing this at such a passionate rate today when Zeno says there's got to be one voice and here's what I don't agree with.
All right, guys, so go to Dukes and Bell 929. Do you agree with at Mark Zeno that the Falcons need a singular voice to make football decisions? Yes, GM makes decisions, or no, all hands on deck. Go vote at Dukes and Bell 929.
Yes! Come on, stop dropping Mike in there.
No, that's perfect. I want to hear more of that.
See, but see, Zeno, he doesn't hate you. That whatever you believe is not true.
Really? You sure?
Okay, no, never mind. Okay. Forget I said that.
Put up another poll.
See how that one goes. Forget I said that. Never mind. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. That's our text line. Find Mark Zeno. Zeno, give me your Twitter handle.
At Mark Zeno, MarkZinno.
And find me at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. And, of course, the radio show is Dukes and Bell. Poll is up. I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to go retweet this.
Are you voting?
Not yet. I want to see where the people are.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're one of those. You're collaborating. That's what you are. You're collaborating with all the people. I get
it. No, I
already
made my decision. I don't want to sway anybody. When I vote, people sometimes vote with me. All right, we're coming back. More to get to here on 92.9 The Game. I was just telling Orin, today, 29 years ago, this album came out. And I'm like, really? All Eyes on Me, Tupac, 29 years ago. Yeah,
Two album set, baby.
Correct.
That was a legit deal.
It was the double album. Anyways, that blew me away.
There's not a bad song in either one of those albums.
Oh, man. It was hype. I remember, like, oh, I couldn't wait for it. Anyways, the timing, I guess, just was like, wow. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. I am going to tell you what happened to me yesterday was crazy, which started out on a normal day and then turned into me being in the ER for about 6 hours.
Wow.
And you're going, why? I will explain coming up, which is why I was out yesterday. That was not my intention. And Turtle, I don't even know if you guys knew, because I was just like, hey, I was in it. So the higher-ups certainly knew about it, but I don't know if they told you guys what was going on. Either way, I'll explain what happened. And it turns out to be, listen, there's nothing worse. I'll say this, Mark, and maybe you've been there. Thinking that you are potentially going to, I don't know, have an emergency surgery or die of something, and then realize after all the things get done that it's something completely that you didn't know about or that you didn't think about. That is kind of what played out yesterday, and that's why it took so long. But we'll get to that coming up here on the show. I want to read some of these comments in regards to this poll question we have up in Zeno going in today saying we need one voice with the Falcons, this collaborative decisions, blah, 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 it's not working. And I want to read some of this because it makes me laugh because everybody now is all of a sudden going, Zeno! This one, for example. Falcons should eat the 10 mil. It's more than that, but yes, I get it. Give Kirk Cousins the Cody Zeller treatment. Spread the cap over 2 years, which they're going to do. I mean, I just feel like that's the smart thing to do. Force his agent to find a trade and and move on. Look, they're going to do that. It's what they do after that is why we're having this discussion, right? How they get there is one thing, but it's what we do after this, because, again, I disagree with Mark. I don't believe anybody's trading for him. Mark says it's your GM's job to go make a trade and find somebody that
yep,
you know,
create a market. Yep, 100%.
Okay, so Dirty Bird says Mark's becoming a man of the people. Not something I saw coming. Glad he asked the hard question. 60 years of losing deserves questioning. Listen, I don't think any of us are not questioning what's going on. The problem is, and Mark can attest to this, being up there like we are, sometimes we don't get the full answers. It's not the questions. Sometimes we don't get the full answers. Now, part of that is in season. Is any coach going to kill his players? No. How often do we get to see or talk to the general manager during the season? Mark, zero. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not the questioning. I think we've been asking the right questions. And, you know, I just don't feel like that we've gotten all the answers that we wanted, even in Terry's, you know, final press conference. I mean, Terry, Mark, you were there, right, for the final press conference?
Yes.
I think you were.
Yeah.
He spoke for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it should have been longer.
30 minutes.
They cut him off.
And I remember, going, we came out of the break, and I said, Terry's done speaking. Dude, our season, we were 6-3 and on our way to the playoffs and had this division wrapped up. The general manager deserves to the fans and to the media to answer every last damn question. If it was an hour 30 minutes, he should have been up there an hour and 30.
Agree.
I was disappointed with that.
I mean, listen, he got off script quick, and I think they pulled a ripcord and got him out of there. It wasn't towards the end of the thing, it wasn't going well.
Yeah,
to say the least.
So that is, it's not that we're not asking, guys. It's Mark's on it. We're on it. It's sometimes we don't get the full, you know, gamut of what we should get. Here's a couple more. Why have a general manager if everyone's throwing detracting ideas? That's from Yale. Falcons should have fired Fontenot when they fired Arthur Smith. However, the Falcons have a sorry owner. Now, let's talk about that for a second, because I get that all the time about Mr. Blank. I get that all the time. And I'm like, look, if you guys don't think that this guy wants to win, I don't know what to tell you. He's trying to hire the right guys. He has been too patient at times with people and given grace.
Too impatient in others.
Yeah, he did it with Mike Smith. I mean, hell, he did it with Dan Quinn. But if you guys just feel like that's the reason this thing's not going anywhere, again, you have to let your decision makers make decisions.
But Mark, that's part of the collaboration process that is the issue. Because who are the decision makers? I don't know the answer to that. Like, again, you know, I covered the Ravens for 10 years before I moved to Atlanta. It was always Ozzie Newsome, and now it's Eric DaCosta. Of course they're collaborating. Of course they're all talking. But at the end of the day, when there are roster questions, they go to the GM because he's the guy who's making those decisions. And whether how much you collaborate, how little you collaborate, I don't know that it matters. But what the problem is that everything is hidden under this umbrella of collaboration. And my biggest issue is that, you know what? Those other organizations that have success, yes, they collaborate too, but that's not what they lead with. Everyone's got a job. Everyone's got a role. Everyone does their job. And when they don't do their job, guess what? They're held accountable for it. And that just doesn't feel like what goes on around this organization. There's always some sort of collaboration. Even when Jeff Ulbrich got up there, you know, he's, yes, I'd love to have input. You know, we'll collaborate together. I mean, it's like, it's when you fill out your application with the Falcons and you do it through HR, they give you this card. It just says collaborate on it.
Okay,
and you got your collaboration card.
So now I'm
officially collaborating. It's like they walk around the halls of Flower Branch, collaborate, and everybody holds up their card. It's like, what are we doing?
That's ridiculous. Would you stop it?
Sorry.
Somebody's going to believe that.
I made that up, Chris. That was a joke. I made it up.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard on Dukes and Bell they have collaboration cards.
Collect the whole set.
I don't want you thinking that. Eric says Zeno has a point about knowing he's hurt, talking about Kirk Cousins. And we've talked about this, Eric. Again, if it's your first time listening to the show, hope it's not. Mike and I went in on this for days about recognizing that he's hurt and should they have done something. And I kept saying, it's easy to say that, guys. When you have the kind of financial investment in this, you continue to ride it out because they had to. And so he says, take your job, for example. This is Eric. He says, if the boss suspects someone is being drunk at work, why's he got to go there? Do they just go, oh, well, or does the manager take accountability and check the employee? Same thing with Cousins' injury. If you saw it, why not check him? Again, I'll say this. If that kind of money was invested in this show, all right, Maybe it's a different standard.
Let me ask you a question.
But it's easy for all of us to say
hypothetical.
That.
Let me ask you a hypothetical here.
What's that?
Okay. Let's just say the head coach made every decision about who plays on game day, hypothetically speaking, right?
All right. Yeah.
If that was the case, and you saw Kirk Cousins' performance after the Broncos game, and you knew he was hurt, shouldn't the head coach have the ability to go, guess what? Sit down.
You're hurt. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think he does. But then you have to deal with the general manager and the owner and whoever else, the president, saying, what's exactly wrong and can we have him still out? Can he still play out there? Like, because when you make that decision, you know that there's a chance
again,
that you may
can
lose.
Can I hit the rewind button and bring it back to why we're sitting here having this conversation right now?
Why are we sitting here having this conversation?
Because of what I said the day that it happened, that the decision to sign Kirk Cousins and then draft Michael Penix was one of the dumber things I've ever seen. Because in reality, there's an argument to say that as bad as Kirk Cousins was last year, if he was still hurt and Michael Penix isn't here, guess what? You know what you're going into the season with? Everything stable and no questions asked. If you just drafted Michael Penix, you know what you're going into the season doing? Everything is stable and no questions asked. You're here because instead of making one decision, you tried to do both. Instead of picking one girl, you tried to date both.
What's
and
wrong
now
with
you're
that?
In a mess.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean,
what's wrong with that?
I'm just saying, in general, it is Valentine's Day, boys. Make sure you space out the dates.
Zeno, you've been on these apps. You have some nerve to say trying to date both is wrong.
It is wrong. It's very wrong. You should be a one-woman kind of guy.
But
you should be a one-quarterback kind of GM.
Whatever.
I want one woman and I want one quarterback. Remember the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none?
You have none. Yeah, I've heard
okay,
that.
Well, they violated the cardinal rule by creating this situation and creating this mess. That's why we're here. Again, collaboratively, it was said that they were never going to be in the situation after what happened Matt Ryan was going to happen again. They collaborated on this, and now they got to uncollaborate it, and it's a mess.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, hit me.
Aren't you glad we got Michael Penix?
I mean, I feel good.
Aren't you glad we have Michael Penix? Answer the question.
Short answer?
No. There is no short answer. Yes or no. Thank you. You can't have it both ways, people. The idea that, well, you should have never done this, but yet we're in a great position because we did do
it. Hold on. Yeah, that's aggressive to
wrong.
Say we're in a great position. It's aggressive to say we're in a great position. We have no clue.
We are in a great position.
We have no clue what position we are in.
We None. Have a quarterback. We are in a good position.
You
There are
hope,
teams right now in the draft who don't have a quarterback.
17 games of
we
Michael Penix is great. You
We have a quarterback. We have a quarterback.
You have two quarterbacks, actually. See, that's the problem. You should only have one.
No, we have one that lied, and we have a quarterback.
Oh, you're upset about the lying thing.
So I hate it.
It doesn't bother me as much.
Oh, Zeno,
it doesn't
come
bother
on.
Me. It, like
a man of integrity like yourself, a military man like yourself, doesn't think that lying isn't a big deal when you lie to an entire fan base.
It is a big deal. But again, the first lie was told by the Falcons by not telling Cousins they were drafting his replacement.
Ah, come on. It's
that lie. That lie didn't matter.
It's business. No, it's business.
No, you can't have it both
it's
ways.
Business.
You can't have it both ways. It can't be business for
it's
on
business.
This end, but not business on the beginning end. That's not on the beginning
not
end.
Not once you have
no
the
way.
Job.
You can't
Zeno.
Do that. You can't
you
do that.
He had the job.
You can't have it both ways. If
Let
it
me
was
tell you
business
something.
To draft Michael Penix, then it's business
something.
For Kirk Cousins to do the everything possible to get him in a spot where he wants to be and he can benefit from the most from
but
it.
But that what makes it impossible for the organization to bring him back. That's the part that you keep glossing over, Zeno.
Tell him, Turtle.
That's the part.
The organization wasn't bringing him back. This was dead before he did this anyway.
But this makes it from a public optics perspective. No matter what their plan is or was behind the scene, Kirk Cousins, to quote John Fricke, can never put on a Falcons uniform again. And he's right. He can't.
Oh,
he
Fricky's
can't
not the only one who said that.
You can't
he's not the only one who
here.
Said that. Here's the other thing, Zeno, and I'll say this, and you've been in radio a long time. As great as we think we are, you think they're going to tell us they're bringing in a replacement? I'm asking you.
No.
And neither do the Falcons, and neither do the Hawks, and neither do the Braves. That is business. It's not personal. We're coming back. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. Spirited debate. Mark Zeno in for Mike today here on Dukes and Bell. Poll questions up. And Turtle, before we get to Yeah Man No Man, what's that look like, by the way, as far as the voting is concerned right now?
Yeah, about 80-20 Zinno's way right now, that the Falcons need a singular voice to make football decisions and end their collaborative process.
You guys got your collaboration cards with you? Bring them on in.
You can go vote at Dukes and Bell.
We're asking a tough question and following it up.
That's right.
You can go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. And you're going, what is this poll question? Well, that's part of this discussion today. So we decided to hear from you guys. We wanted to know what you thought. Coming up, I'll tell you what happened yesterday to me and why I was out. Unfortunately, it was not planned, but I'll get into all of that along the way here in Guy Talk. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today, my man?
Other than Zinno being dead wrong about Kirk Cousins, you know, just another day in the neighborhood.
I don't understand. We absolutely agree on what has to happen. I don't understand how
it good.
We agree. We agree he does not need to be here.
We agree, but your methodology is just totally bass-ackwards, my friend. That's the problem.
There's only two ways to get him off the roster. I cut him or trade him.
Yes, and the way that you're suggesting is an impossibility.
It's not. That's the point you miss. It's not an impossibility. And it is the GM's job to pick up the phone, create a market, and structure a deal that gets him out of here. That's what he gets paid for. It goes back to the same thing. The GM's supposed to be the damn guy in charge.
I don't get, you know, I'm sorry. I don't understand how you think, like, Terry Fontenot's going to call and get, what is he going to do, use the Jedi mind trick on these general managers? I mean, come on.
You know what you do? You go back old school like Michael Corleone. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Can't refuse? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, we're going to add in, we'll give you, take a flyer on Kyle Pitts. We'll give you next year's second round pick. I mean, come on, like, what do you think this is going to be?
There's a team that needs a short-term quarterback solution out there. There's plenty of them. And just wait, let's just wait and see what happens. Listen, you want to know, here's a scenario that I could see unfolding. You ready for this, Dukes?
What?
When Brock Purdy walks into the front office of the San Francisco 49ers and says, I want Jordan Love's deal, or I want Trevor Lawrence's deal, and they laugh his ass out of there. And then Kyle Shanahan needs a guy. Oh, wait a second. Who did Kyle Shanahan used to? Oh, that's right. He used to coach Kirk Cousins back in the day.
Yeah.
No, and then you pick up the phone, and he would absolutely go back to San Francisco to play for.
There's a flaw in your strategy, because there's another guy who's out there that they would call first, and his name is Aaron Rodgers.
What?
His name is Aaron Rodgers. He's going home to California.
Doesn't run Kyle Shanahan's system. Kirk Cousins does.
Yeah.
And you think Kirk Cousins on one good leg is going to be better than Aaron Rodgers?
On one good leg? Yeah. On one good, you're taking two old guys on one good leg, and you take the guy whose system you already know, who you've already coached, and you already know exactly knows what to do.
All right.
And, by the way, take the guy who's not the open malcontent that Aaron Rodgers is.
Oh, Mr. Betting over here, you know your numbers. Do you know how many touchdowns Aaron Rodgers threw last season?
About 28.
28 touchdowns.
Yeah. See? Yeah, I knew that.
And Kirk was on pace to throw about 28 interceptions. That's the problem.
Until he lied.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers over Kirk.
Interceptions are fixable.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you do that. Knock yourself out. You're creating something that's not a reality. I am actually telling you the
truth. I'm the one who's creating something that's not a reality.
Why are you yelling at me? Stop yelling at me.
Because
Aaron Rodgers going to the 49ers isn't a thing. You're just saying he's going home. Kirk Cousins playing for a guy who's already coached for and a coach who would already coach him again is a thing.
Zeno's right.
I'm saying that the Falcons being able to find a trade partner for Kirk Cousins is the non-reality situation here.
I mean, that is fair that it's going to be very difficult. But again, the point is, that is the GM's job. Because there's no reason to cut him and not have any cap space.
Yeah.
No, the reason you cut him is because he embarrassed your organization on national TV.
Can I just raise a hand?
I know
do the Falcons need any help embarrassing themselves?
I know, but you keep saying really? you don't care. But do you think Arthur Blank took that when he went on NFL Network?
Couldn't have taken any worse than chasing Deshaun Watson. Couldn't take any worse than that.
Yeah,
couldn't have taken any worse than dumping the best player in franchise history
Wait
in that right.
Carl,
couldn't
who's
have taken any worse.
Carl, who's can't take it any worse. Carl's like the guy who's like running back and he's
like waving the Toro flag. Toro, Toro, come get Zeno, come get Turtle.
I'm enjoying the back and forth here, and I'm going point, counterpoint. Yes, he's correct. Oh, he's right there. Listen, we didn't get Deshaun Watson. You know what? We can get back into this. Turtle, let's get into some yeah man, no man, please.
All right, this NBA All-Star weekend, we got some disappointing news. I didn't even know it was supposed to happen again, but apparently Steph versus Sabrina 2.0 is off. And they, quote, said, "We weren't able to land on a plan that we thought would raise the bar off of last year's special moment. We all agreed not to proceed and instead keep the focus on All-Star Sunday's new format." Yeah, man, no, man. Did you enjoy that enough last year that either A, you would have wanted to see it again, or B, see either Steph do it with another WNBA star or another NBA star?
No. Been there, done that. It was fun. Move on. That's why we don't like sequels. I saw it already. Like, I don't need to see this again. And I didn't even know it was supposed to be on. To be honest with you, I had no idea they were trying to do this again. So, look, didn't they try to get Caitlin Clark to play?
Yes, and she said no.
Okay. So the NBA, and I get it, they're trying to expand the, you know, the viewership and young ladies. I understand all that, and that's cool. But this is also, it seems very gimmicky, you know, Zeno? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm with, like, having a competition where you get the best shooters in the world, and you okay, fine. But this whole thing, like, okay, we got to have Steph, who is the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA, challenge somebody, and do you really need that? I saw it already. No, man, no.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dukes. I mean, you keep trying to force this thing on everybody like it's something that we all desire. Like, it's not Tiger versus Phil, right? Like, we all desired that. We'd watch it again, even two old guys who can barely golf anymore. Well, maybe not. But, you know, the idea, okay, we'd watch Rory versus – we'd watch Brooks versus – what's his face? Bryson, right? Like, these are things that we would watch. I don't – the NBA is trying to force this thing into being something that nobody really gravitates towards and cares about.
Yeah.
I think it's something that ultimately is going to result in a return at some point with a new format because it was really popular last year, but yeah. I agree with you.
Now,
guys.
Again, if you can get Caitlin Clark to do it,
yeah.
Everybody's all eyes in.
Yeah.
Right? If Caitlin Clark one day agrees to this, then you got a shot because she's the most notable athlete, you know, one of the two or three most notable athletes in America. But if it's not her, no one cares.
All right. If we think the Falcons are down bad, try being the Cowboys right now. Emmitt Smith was asked about the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer on ESPN Radio. His response, next question. I have no reaction. I just don't know what to say. I know we have to give the man a chance, and I'm willing to give him a chance, an opportunity to turn things around. However, we don't align our vision and commitment to that vision, I think we're going to get a lot of things that we've seen in the past, and that doesn't feel good.
That's a lot of answer for no answer.
Dukes, I'll say it this way. It's 2025, and I guess in America now we have a propensity for hiring wholly unqualified people for high-level jobs, and that seems to be going on across the board here, so why not keep sticking with it?
Are you making some kind of other reference there? And if you are, don't go there. I agree with
exactly
you.
What I'm referencing.
Tweets in 3, 2, 1.
I agree with you. This is the trend. It really is. Across the sports world, right? We've seen it. NBA.
Elsewhere.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
We've seen it everywhere. So I do agree with that. The question for me is, if you've got all the – and Jerry's supposed to have – at least he says he does. He listens to all the old guys, right? The guys that he says that really matter, the Troy Aikmans, the Emmitt Smiths, the Michael Irvins. He listens to all these guys, and there are others that helped win championships that he trusts. Is he really listening to these guys, or is that just lip service? Because all these guys are saying the same thing about this hire. It sucks. It's a terrible hire. It makes no sense.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad. Like, I do, because, again, he's put in a no-win situation. No win whatsoever. You don't win there. You're going to get fired within a year or two, and guess what? You're never going to get another head coaching job again. Like, that, you know, it's not exactly – and I don't want to denigrate him, but what's really Brian Schottenheimer's track record of success as an assistant, I guess, is the question.
There isn't.
Okay.
There isn't.
So then, therefore, with not a lot of I keep saying there's not a lot of track record of success. What happens? Yeah. You don't end up sticking around long. So that's the point. Like, that's why I feel bad for him. Because you don't take the job if you're offered the job to coach the Cowboys, you pretty much don't turn that down.
No, you got to
take it. Right? You kind of got to take that one. And the point simply is that he had to take it because he was offered it. And in reality, it's such a – he's pushing a boulder up a really steep hill.
Yeah. No doubt.
You know the phrase, stay in your lane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this guy needed to do that. Ryan Burr is a former analyst for the Golf Channel, currently working for PGA Tour Live and calls some Big Ten basketball games, according to his Twitter. Well, he decided this morning to put out a tweet that went viral, and he got squashed by the internet. Steelers have made inquiries to the Jaguars about a trade for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh.
This is directly from the horse's mouth in the Jaguars organization. Wow.
What's his name?
Exclamation point. This is Ryan Burr.
Ryan?
Well, Mark Cabali, who is the D-led of the Pittsburgh Steelers, said this. The Steelers in no way imaginable inquired about trading for Trevor Lawrence and have no interest in even reaching out to the Jaguars about acquiring Lawrence, according to a team source. So, essentially, this guy got some bad information, put it out there, and absolutely got killed by every Steelers reporter known to man, Michael DeRocco of ESPN. Regarding the recent report that the Steelers have inquired about a trade for Jags QB Trevor Lawrence, a Jaguar source said there's, quote, no chance they'll trade Lawrence and called the idea, quote, ridiculous. Mm. So, yeah, man, no man. If you get a scoop, even if you're pretty sure it's accurate, if it's not your lane, should you go with it?
Wow.
I mean, again, in 2025, you don't need facts to do anything. So there is that.
This is true. This
look,
is true.
And I've been guilty of this before, too. You know, and I'll even go back. I mean, you know, I had it on very good authority that Arthur Smith was not getting fired. And he did, you know. So sometimes information changes. I don't know if it changes in a matter of 2 hours.
Well, mine changes
in a matter of about 4 weeks is a difference there when I got that piece of information from when the end of the season happened.
Yeah,
so a lot changed in those 4 weeks. You know, again, how much do you trust your source? I mean, I don't know Ryan Burr. I mean, you know, is he trying to just make a comment and go viral? I don't know. There seems to be some sort of lust for people to go viral some way, size, way, shape, or form. That might have been part of it. But
the weird part about this is if you look at his Twitter page, he seems like a pretty normal guy. Like not a guy that's out here looking to make clicks and or looking to have an account that just tries to go viral. So maybe he did get legitimate information. Maybe you know somebody who knows somebody. But again, if that's not your beat, and you have a relatively large Twitter following that's used to you providing a certain sort of information, in this case, golf and basketball information, and you put a really hot NFL take out there, I think, Carl and Mark, you're just asking to get burned, man.
So Schefter's done this, right, when he's been out of his lane, and he's put stuff out there. He doesn't do it frequently, often, but he has done this kind of thing where – you know, he follows up on a story, and people are like, oh, dude, you cover the NFL. Listen, I'll say this as far as these stories, and this is through my experience. I can't speak to anybody else, but I've broke stories, major stories, covered major stories, responded to major stories, and know a lot of people. Sometimes you get this information, Mark, and the organization has to cover its butt. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong. But everybody freaks out that the deal now is going to potentially go bad, and therefore everybody denies it. I don't know if he's right or wrong on this, but if you're telling me that the Steelers called about Trevor Lawrence and they're inquiring about him, I wouldn't put it past him. They need a franchise quarterback. There's no debating it. But what happens is as soon as it gets out, everybody goes, defense. We cannot allow this to be out there, and more importantly, we can't let our people, you know, certainly our team and guys on our team know that we're out here looking and searching and talking to people. So sometimes it's right, but you got to deny it until it becomes a reality. And so I've seen that happen a lot where people go, oh, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And then guess what? Something happens and then somebody goes, wait a minute, you guys told us that wasn't true. Well, things change, to Mark's point. I don't know if it's true or not. I do think the Steelers are inquiring about various quarterbacks.
Well,
not Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'm hearing that we're inquiring about trading Orin for Abe Gordon. So on that note, hit my music.
Oh, excuse snap. I? What's going on here?
Wow. He went there.
Apparently he did.
He went.
I had to do with that.
Crap on my Thursday.
He went there. Good stuff, man. Hey, coming up, 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. We haven't even had a chance to dive into what the Hawks did last night. They lose to the Knicks in an entertaining game. We will talk about that. Also, we got a very special guest coming up to talk about the NFL in the 4 o'clock hour. And what happened to me yesterday? You're not going to believe it. It's Dukes and Bell.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.